السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ولن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد، يحيي ويميت وهو حي لا يموت وهو على كل شيء قدير. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا وحبيبنا وقائدنا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين، ما بعد. الحمد لله. We continue another session of أسماء الله الحسنى and the most beautiful names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we learned that Asma Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is divided to basic two categories, Asma'ul Jamal wa Asma'ul Jalal. Asma'ul Jamal, the names that shows the mercy of Allah. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives His servants. The beautiful name of giving. And Asma'ul Jalal are the names that has to do with the power and the punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes the disbelievers and the disobedience one with. So, We have been talking about Asma al-Jalal or al-Jamal for so long. Today, inshallah, we'll talk about one or reflect together on Ism min Asma al-Jalal. Al-Muntaqim. Al-Muntaqim is the attribute that we're going to discuss, inshallah, today. Now, as we know that the reason for us reflecting in the Asma, in Asma Allah al-Husna, is to get to know Allah. Because everything around us and every event that happens around us has an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it, or many attributes within it. And a Muslim, a difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim is a Muslim who knows the attributes of Allah, walks around and realizes the magnificence of this universe through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names and attributes. And others go around and they wonder what's going on, and they have no clue what goes on. They cannot see the mercy of Allah within the punishment of Allah. They cannot see the holding back that Allah has for us and within it given us. And they cannot see the giving as a way of testing. They cannot see, they might see the giving as something of being pleased with and taken away something of angry with. But a Muslim and one who knows the attributes of Allah look at the things differently and correctly in the right light with the right understanding. So the more we get to know the attributes of Allah, the more of comfort of the heart that we're going to have and clarity in matters all around us. Al-Muntaqim is the one who punishes. Al-Muntaqim is the one who punishes. Now, the punishment comes. Does it come at the end?
No.
Okay, Adam. Yeah, these are first words that he learned. First, the first and the last words, no. Yes. Now you made me lose my train of thought, Adam. Yes. At the end, yes. Not necessarily. And this is something that we need to understand. Sometimes a punishment will come in an easy way for you to wake up quickly. Sometimes the punishment will come in a very harsh way. Astaghfirullah. In a very strong way. Harsh way is not befitting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a very strong way. Okay? That might leave a permanent damage with you. To have a permanent obedience with you. You know that you have gone somewhere where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, wants something special from you. Okay? And sometimes the punishment will come and then will be lifted, will come and be lifted, will come and be lifted, and then finally it will, when the time you do not think that it exists anymore, it will come and will not be lifted and your life will end. And we have examples in that throughout the whole Quran. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all around us, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds the rain on some people and then gives the rain, or holds the rain for a longer time and then gives some but not too much, and sometimes will give the rain so much of it in abundance for those who are disbelievers, and sometimes Allah will send the wind and the rain from the attributes of Jamal, of beauty and Rahmah. And then it will turn to the rain and the wind to the attributes of Jalal, the attributes of punishment. Okay? It might be the same wind and the same rain. It will pass by an area with the attributes of Jamal, and then will continue in a different area with the attributes of Jalal. It will be a mercy on some, a punishment on some. And even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would see a cloud coming that is dark, okay, we know that Thamud and Ad, what did they say? إِنَّهُ عَارِضٌ مُمْطِرُنَا. It's a arudin that is coming. That is, will bring a rain on us as something that is so good. And they did not know that was their end. That was coming, but no longer coming with attribute of Jamal anymore. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make dua that this would come with mercy, does not come with punishment. Imagine Rasulullah ﷺ would make a dua among the Muslimin that for this that is coming, to be coming with the mercy, not coming with the intiqam, with the punishment. Okay. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take from some of us. It might be a kind of taking according to the kind of disobedience that we have done, just enough for it. The one that came to Umar radiallahu anhu, his hand is going to be cut off because he stole from Farasa of Umar radiallahu anhu, and his understanding when he said, this is the first time. Umar radiallahu anhu says, it's impossible. Allah is too merciful to make you get caught from the first, to have you go caught for the first time. It's impossible. And he was lying. It was not, after his hand cut off, he admitted it was not his first time. It was his maybe 20-some time. Okay? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover and keep covering and keep covering. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take and exposes al-muntaqim with the punishment. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue with the mercy on you, will punish you with something in this life and will continue, so you get back on the path and you will die clear with the mercy of Allah. The Pharaoh and his people, what did they have of punishment? Finally, at the end, destruction, complete destruction. But before that, Musa alayhi salam would give them signs. And the signs will prove that he is the messenger of Allah. So the blood will be all over. All the liquids are blood. But for the Israelites, the liquid will be water. For the Pharaohs and his people, liquids are blood. A punishment that water that you use for everything in your life, now you cannot use, period. To some were saying that they would go borrow from the Israelites and they would go get the water from them as water, and when they take it, now they, after they take it, it is no longer water. So now that is a punishment that is amma, all over. We all have the punishment. But then they ask Musa alayhi salam to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lift the punishment. And he asked Allah, and the punishment is lifted. Now do you think that they will be straight now? Do you think that they will submit and surrender now? No. They go back to the same way as they were before. Allah sends another punishment on them. The frog and the locust and others and other punishments. And every time it comes, they repent and they say, we're not going to go back, and the punishment is lifted. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought a punishment at the time when the Pharaoh and his people, his soldiers, thought that they're going to be the winners. They thought that now they prepared, they got the Israelites all out, now they got their armies, and the Israelites are armless, and now they're going to finish them off. At the moment and the peak of thinking that he is the winner, he is the one who's going to destroy the word of Al-Haq, and at that moment he was taken now. There was no going back. There was no going back. He was taken at that moment, and that was it. Now, as he was taken, he was announcing Islam, as Shahada, as he was taken. It was too late, even though he announced it. Because now he moved from this life and move into the hereafter. When we see the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming to us in this life, it is a mercy from Allah upon us. Okay? When you lose what you think you will never lose, when you get what you did not expect that you're going to get in a way of less of something, of wealth, of money, of children, of family, whatever it is, and it gets you back on the path, you say, Alhamdulillah, that Allah used his attributes of Jalal to get me to his attributes of Jamal. Okay? Alhamdulillah that Allah is taking me to him by slapping me while I'm alive now so I can run to him. Okay? Now, Al-Muntaqim has been mentioned in the Quran in many places. In Surah Al-Imran, okay. Wallahu Azizun ذو انتقام. إن الذين كفروا لهم عذاب أليم والله عزيز ذو انتقام. عذاب شديد شديد والله عزيز ذو انتقام. That Allah سبحانه وتعالى says about the kuffar, they have a severe punishment, and Allah Aziz, and He is has intiqam. Okay, now before that, Allah سبحانه وتعالى mentioned the books, the Torah and the Injil and Al-Furqan, the Quran. Okay, these gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to mankind, and the last gift, the gift of the Quran, the gift of the only words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth, and will be the only word on earth until the day of judgment. It is just when every time you say that, every time you think about that, you know, you should be so moved that you have something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with you all the time, and you know it is from Allah. So those who are kuffar, who reject that, they have a punishment that is severe punishment. Allah is Aziz. Allah does not need His creation. Allah created His creation in a way that all what He created needs Him, and absolutely needs Him in everything that they have. So they cannot live without the izzah of Allah, without the giving that Allah gives them. And Allah does not need them. So therefore, Allah will take revenge and will take them into punishment. Okay. As one scholar was saying, he was saying that he saw this, that here is a man who's driving a car, and a dog was in the side, sitting. So he was showing his friends in the car how he can go quick and miss the dog, but go right on its feet. Okay? And he did. A couple of days later, He was fixing a flat tire. And the same thing happened to him. But it was his hands, not his feet. Both his hands had to be cut off. Okay. Now, this should be a blessing to this person to realize such a live example of what Allah does and how clear that message was. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His servants that are close to Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put them through more difficulties than those who are far away. Those who are close, they can handle going through difficulties. And the more difficulties they go through, and that is not punishment. This is a purification that Allah does to His servants. We have to separate between the punishment and the way of purification. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ what was he punished of or from? He was sinless, has no sins, but he went through difficulties. Okay. So Allah will put His close servants through some difficulties to get them closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to hear their voices, wants to hear their dua, wants to hear their munajah, their talk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah will put them through difficulties. But those that away from the path, Allah might put them through maybe some not so much difficulties. But then there are some sicknesses that does not be cured with an aspirin. And some needs a course of antibiotic. And some needs a surgery. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put us through this experience. The experience of you going back quickly taking that aspirin. But if there is a saghira that is being made, a saghira, small sin that you insist on it, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put you through difficulties that it is not going to be fixed quickly. You're going to have to go through a heavier course now so you can get rid of this habit, of the small saghira, the small sin that you need to get rid of. And if there is a kabira and there is a chance that you could die with this kabira with you, a great sin, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put you through a major surgery if your heart is still, there still has goodness in it. If your heart is going to be the heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to purify before entering Jannah. So if there is still goodness in you, you might have to go through this surgery, meaning a great difficulties. So you come out of it clean. You might have a splinter in your finger. And you might have a great calamity that happens to you. But if we get closer to death with the process done, now it is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. The problem, true problem is that death comes and the soul is taken out before the process of purification is done. Because the process has to continue. So if the purification was not done in this life, it will be done as the soul coming out. If it is not done as the soul coming out, it will be done in the grave, with the punishment in the grave. If it is not done then, it will be done at the calamity of the day of judgment. And if it is not done then when a believer who says, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, will enter hellfire. Until it is paid, until the heart becomes salim, then one will come out of hellfire. And no soul will be in hellfire that says, La ilaha illallah. And then it will enter paradise. So, Allah is the one who punishes. And we need to understand this. Because understanding this will put us on the straight path. And we need to understand, number one, the greatness of Allah. We have to realize the greatness of Allah. And we have to have love toward Allah. And we have to have fear of Allah. And if we have those three, then we are on the right path. And we cannot have one or two and leave the other. We have to think of Allah as the attributes of Jalal. Meaning that you think of Allah and you become at awe. You know what it means to become at awe? Okay? You know, when you are sitting here at Dar al-Taqwa, in this Musalla, in this area of North America, on this planet Earth, imagine yourself coming outwards, out of the space, like we're taking a plane, okay? And then the Earth becomes smaller and smaller, and then people become like nothing, and then houses are nothing, and then it becomes like a map, right? No longer any details, just a big map. And then you come across the ocean, now you know there is water and there is land, And that's all you could see. Now come out of this and keep going upwards. Now think about the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that this Milky Way that we are in, that will take millions of years to move from one end of it to the other, comparing to the second sky, it is like a rainbow in a desert. Imagine that. Okay? And keeps going. And the second one to the third one, and the ring in the desert, and go until all the seven heavens in the kursi of Allah is like a ring in the desert. Now, who are you comparing to your Creator, our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we have to be at awe with this concept. This is a step to take us close to Allah. When we're making sujood and putting our forehead in the ground at night before Fajr, okay, now you should have that kind of concept. Who you making sujood to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, above His creation. And Allah is saying to you that I'm closer to you now than any other time, at that time before Fajr. Now imagine how important you become with Allah. Now imagine how can you come out of prayer? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'm not going to turn away unless my servant turn away. You come to Allah when you want, any place you want, any time you want. And Allah is there. It is the opposite of what it should be. See? It is the opposite of what it should be. When you are a slave to someone, the efforts and the energy that you have goes to your master. But when you are slave to Allah, all the benefit and the energy comes from Allah to you. It's all us. So we have to be at awe when we are doing our worship, getting close to Allah, and looking at our very insignificant position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Remember when we were talking about وَمَنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ بِتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. And from people, that the one that sells himself in the way of the pleasure to please Allah. And here Allah uses the word يَشْرِي meaning يَبِيع. يَشْرِي meaning Allah uses yashri meaning to buy, but in the opposite way, to sell rather than buy. But when it is used that way, that means whatever you're selling is insignificant. If you say ba'a, meaning you have something that's valuable. Okay, if you say yashri or shara, in meaning selling, and this is what you mean selling, that means what you have is very insignificant. So Allah saying, those people, those who are significant with Allah, they are the ones that you think of themselves that insignificant. Okay? The one who is significant with Allah, the one that they think of themselves as insignificant. That is a believer. Okay? When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was describing Jannah, and what is the least reward in Jannah is going to be for the one who will be walking in his Jannah for 2,000 years to find out what it is. So he asked, Ya Rasulullah, what is the greatest reward? Is for he who be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Who would deserve this, Ya Rasulullah? People like you, or you, Abu Bakr. So here is a testimony from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is going to have the highest reward of Jannah. And then he says, if my right foot in Jannah and left foot is outside of Jannah, I might be tested and fail the test. Okay? He did not walk around his shoulder back and says, do you know what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about me? No, because he was a true believer. So he knew that he was so insignificant and he must keep working and keep working and keep working. So we must have that awe with us all the time. And that will take us to love. We love Allah. Because when you are at awe with the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you, you cannot help to fall into total love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And that is, by the way, the only true love. Allah, when Allah uses the word love in the Quran, Allah uses it in this context between the servants and Allah. يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ They love him and he loves them. Or he loves them and they love him. Okay, that is true love. Okay. And then we move from that to fear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-muntaqim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who punishes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish you according to what you have done. But also he is the most merciful. But you do not take one and not the other. You do not take the most merciful and think that you're not going to be punished. I'm not going to take the one who punishes without being the most merciful. The one who had Jannah. Okay? In Surah Al-Kahf. Okay? وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا رَجُلَيْنِ Give them an example of two men. جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ We give one of them two gardens. مِنْ أَعْنَابٍ وَحَفَفْنُهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا Allah described the Jannah, the two Jannah that he gave one of them. Beautiful. Allah described so many beautiful things. And what did he say? What did he say to his friend? قَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَعَزُّ نَفَرًا He told his friend while he's talking with him, joking with him, I have more wealth and I have more children than you are. See how arrogant this is. Why do you boast? Why would one boast? You boast with what? With something? When you boast, you boast with something that you have a hand in it. So what is it that you boast that you have a hand in it? Nothing. Okay? Especially what he said, right? He said, this Jannah. All he did is put the seed in the ground. Right? He had nothing to do with how much yield he's going to get from the vine or from the date palms. Okay? And about the children. What is it? How many children you have? How do you know how many children you're going to have? How can you boast about that? Okay? You could maybe you would have none at all. It's all from Allah. So how could you boast about this? Because it is arrogance. Okay? Because he's thinking that Allah has mercy on him and Allah is not the one who punishes him. Okay? And دَخَلَ جَنَّتُهُ He enters his Jannah and he said, مَا أَظُنَّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا I don't think this will ever go away. Okay, so beautiful, look at it. And then, that took him to one more step. وَمَا أَظُنُّ أَنَّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمًا And I don't think the hour will be here, meaning the day of judgment. Okay? And then he said, okay, وَلَئِن رُدِدْتُ إِلَى رَبِّي And if what you're saying is true and so forth, if I go, رُدِدْتُ إِلَى رَبِّي Do you hear that? When I go back to my Lord. He believes in his Lord, right? But he's boasting that what he gets is something special. Because he's deserving this. So what did he say? وَلَئِن رُدِدْتُ إِلَى رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا That if I go back to my Lord, I'll find better than it. I'll find better than it. Meaning that he thinks of himself that he deserves honor. What did his friend say? He took this as kufr. He said, قال له صاحبه وهو يحاور: أكفرت بالذي خلقك من تراب؟ خلقك من تراب ثم من نطفة ثم سواك رجلا. You became kafir, the one who created you from dust and then from a clod of blood, and meaning a sperm and an egg, and then made you a man. You were nothing. You were nothing, and Allah made you a man. Now you're a man. Allah gave you a lot of things, and you're boasting that this is from your work. No. So we have to be with that fear. We cannot be with that hope and love without the fear. Again, the three that we go with, Allah is al-muntaqim. Allah can punishes us, and we are in fear of this. Allah is the most merciful, and we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are at awe with the idea that the creator of the heaven and the earth loves us and take care of us, and we feeling like we are a privilege to be the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what is our role in this? Because we know that every name, we have a role in it, because we are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our role in al-muntaqim, that you do not give i'ana to the one that deserves the punishment of Allah. You do not give help to those who you know that they are challenging and kuffar with the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them. If you know those who are disobedient, those who cause in harm, you as a believer in al-muntaqim, you should never be a part of this. Because this intiqam will catch you, will come to you, because you'll be part of aiding a tyrant, will be part of aiding injustice. And today, we do this in a kind of a casual way, and we do not think deeply in it. And we say, what are we going to do? You know, jobs now are difficult to come around. So I'm going to accept this job, but inshallah, I'll be looking for other job. And you are not in absolute need. You're not going to starve to death. You're not going to be thrown in the street. So you're not in need. But be prepared that if you aid a tyrant, if you aid any dhulm, any injustice, you're going to be part of this injustice. And when the punishment comes, you might be included because you are part of it. So, the fear has to be there. And the non-aid to those who are tyrant has to be there. And trying to fix that which must be fixed has to be there. To find out where we are needed and do the work of Allah. And to find out where injustices are done and try to do something about it and prevent injustices. Not to be part, or to be part of the name of al-muntaqim, is to stay away and not aid those who deserve the punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, go ahead inshallah and make the comments inshallah. Not you, Adam.
Huh? Not
you, Adam. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خير الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Just you know, reflecting in this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the translation could be also the revenge, you know, and intiqam.
The one who takes the revenge.
Yeah, revenge, takes revenge. That he's the punishes, but also he's taking revenge. And revenge, in usually what we understand is that you wait to the right moment, you know. Sometimes things happen,
yes,
and you don't right away react, and then you wait to the right moment. And then you do your, you know, whatever you revenge from.
Yes, but as scholars of Arabic, they say al-muntaqim in today's Arabic, it is more has to do with revenge. In today's Arabic. But in the Arabic language,
yeah,
muntaqim is the one who punishes, not just takes revenge.
Yeah,
okay?
Right.
Yeah, because it is.
Because yeah, that's true, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need to wait for the right moment. He could do it anytime, anywhere,
right.
He does not necessarily want to wait until for the... Although it's happened.
Yes.
Sometimes Allah be patient because His attributes also Halim, and He's patient, and He give one chance, two chances, 3, 4, 10 million, and then He will punish us severely.
Mm-hmm.
Subhanallah. And the other thought is the idea that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not need us, or He does not, you know, gonna affect by what will happen to us. You know, this is tremendously, if you think about it deeply, because we have an ego, you know, all of us, and we think that we are very important. That's how we grow up. You know, our parents told us, "You are, you know, like this, like that. I love you." You know, we are so important in our family, in our whatever, you know, society. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are not that important. if he wishes, I mean, He could punish us. I mean, unless you are a believer and, you know, you do everything right, exactly. So don't think that you are not under the category of punishment, or you are exempt from
punishment.
The punishment for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's scary, very scary. I mean, when you think about it, that you are talking to a majesty, to a power, where there is no means to harm him, nor to affect him emotionally, nor physically, nor anything. You cannot reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by any means. You cannot affect him. How much powerful you are, how much you have, you know, people behind you, mm-hmm, supporting you, blah, blah, blah. You are not going to do anything. And when you think about that, and then you really commit a sin or disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then be aware. I mean, this is a huge. Mm-hmm. You are alone. You know, you are nobody gonna save you now. So, for this part of attribute, you know, we have to really give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what He deserves from glory, and be humble that we are. You know, we are not gonna, like Allah said in the Quran, you know, تخرق الأرض ولن تبلغ الجبال طولة. You are not gonna dig a hole in your foot in the earth, nor you are gonna reach the mountain in your high. So be humble, obey Allah, and you know, try to reach the status of love and ihsan with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be aware of His punishment. Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brother Mahmood, about this Surah Qaf, you were reciting about the example of two men.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَحِيْتَ بِسَمْرِهِ فَاسْبَا يُقَلِّبِ كَفَّهِ لَا مَانْ فَقَوِيهَا وَهِيَ خَاوِيَتُنُ لَا رُوشَهَا وَيَكُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُشْرِكْ بِرَبِّي أَهْدَى. When he says that لَمْ أُشْرِكْ بِرَبِّهِ أَهْدَى, what kind of shirk he did that he would have said that?
Okay.
He was just bragging about himself that I have been honored, and I will get the same thing or more when I, on the day of judgment. But at the end, he says, "Ya laytani lam ushrik bi rabbiya."
Yeah, I wish that I did not take partners with Allah.
Yeah, wa yaqulu ya laytani لم أشرك بربي أحد.
I wish I did not take partners with Allah. Yes, he took himself as a partner with Allah. He is the one who made a decision now of what he should take, get, or should not get. Okay.
I thought he was doing the shirk because the material he possessed, he depended on that one instead of Allah.
And he made a decision. He said, I do not deserve. He was the judge. Allah is the judge. Allah is the judge. Okay? He already made a decision that he is honorable. He made a decision that the day of judgment is not here. Okay? And even if it is here, I will be honorable in the hereafter. He's already made a judgment on himself. So he's taken an attributes of Allah to himself. That is shirk. Okay?
He had a tawakkal on the material things he had.
And also, at the day of judgment, when we're standing there,
okay,
Allah the one who makes the judgment. He made the judgment. He said, in the hereafter, this is what I'm going to get.
Or be better than.
Or better than it. Okay? So, you know, it is... Shirk is... has many forms. The form here is to try in your concept to take something belongs to Allah and take it and make it belong to something, someone else or something else. Okay? So here Allah is the one who makes the judgment. Allah is the one who decides who enters hellfire and who enters paradise. So he took this from Allah in his thought and gave it to himself. And he made that judgment. Okay? If someone, you know, Allah has the right to make law and make a judgment. Shaitan, in his concept of Allah, he took this away from his concept of Allah. He said, no, I'm the one who could do this, not Allah. And that is the ultimate shirk. The shirk of shaitan. Okay? Allah has the right to tell you what to do or not to do. And he said, no, I'm going to do what I wish and I'll make my own law, my own rule. So what kind of shirk does shaitan have?
This is like democracy.
Correct. Correct. Or a kind of democracy that's unacceptable. Yes. 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 The one, yes. الَّذِي اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. The one who took his desire as his false god. Sisters, if you want the microphone there, inshallah. I'm sorry? Yes.
Shall I make a quick question? And yeah, this concept of punishment to prevent the harm, one then the story of Khizr alayhi salam came to my mind that when the son was killed by Khizr alayhi salam, and he said, later on he explained that it was to prevent harm to the parents, that if he grew up he will be, you know, I will be bringing more harm to the parents.
Yes, and he was taken away now, to prevent the harm that will come later on. Yes.
So that's another way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes. So definitely it was a harm in there for them at that moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it was a blessing that did, and they will not know it until the day of judgment. Yes.
Yeah. People, if they want to not, they go for not for ages, then they go to Jannah. How would they look like?
Say that again, if people?
The people of Jahannam, they go to not for ages, but if they go to Jannah after the ages, and how would they look like?
They would go to the fire for ages for a period of time.
And what is the question at the end?
How would they look like?
How do they look like? Okay. First of all, there are some who will enter hellfire and never come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And but those who will come out of it are the Muslims who committed so much sins that they have to pay for it because there was so much of it. And then when they come out of it, they're going to be looking in a way that is so bad.
There's a hadith about this.
Okay.
There's a hadith about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They come out like they put them in the water of haya.
Yeah. So but they will be beautiful after that.
Okay.
They will be beautiful after that. They will be taken out of Jahannam. And then they will be dipped into a river that is coming out of Jannah. And all the mark of hellfire will be away from them. And eventually they will enter Jannah. And from the mercy of Allah, Rasulullah ﷺ, as we, in hadith we were mentioning, that the last one who will enter, who will come out of Jahannam and enter Jannah, he will have so much wealth that Allah will ask him to wish for a day, and he keep wishing and wishing, and then Allah says to him, I will give you what you wish, and 10 times over. And it will take him 2,000 years to find out his ownership and his wealth in Jannah. But the likeness will change from that which is ugly to that which is beautiful. There's something here that is one of the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes things for us in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the tree Shajaratul Zakkum, the tree of Zakkum in hellfire. Right? The root of it is in hellfire. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to make you think of this as something so ugly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, طَلْعُهَا يَا كَرْؤُسُ الشَّيَاطِينَ, the fruit of it, like the head of shaitan. Now each one of us will go, ugh. Right? Now this is eloquent, because Allah describes that which you do not know with that which you do not know. Right? If I describe something that you don't know to you, I will give you an example of something you know. Right? But here Allah describes that which you do not know, which is the tree in hellfire, with that which you do not know, which is the head of shaitan. Okay? But it is not specific, but it is special for every person. Because each one of us has the idea, the image of ugliness is different than the other. Right? So it's exactly fitting. Everyone will think of the head of shaitan and will get a certain impression that it's so ugly. Okay, so yes, whatever in hellfire and coming out of hellfire is so ugly, but to describe it exactly, you know, ugly from one person to another is different. Wallahu a'lam.
This intercession will be after punishment or before punishment?
Which intercession? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will make intercession for the starting of the judgment. The starting of the judgment.
Some people are taken from the hellfire.
It is already decided by Allah. Okay, that those who our muwahideen will not stay forever in hellfire, and they will come out. But the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the time when everybody would like this to end, meaning to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that day, and everybody will go to each messenger and a prophet of Allah, and he'll say, lastu laha, I'm not for it. Then they finally, if you go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he will say, "Ana lah, I am for it." Then he will be asked, "Ishfa tushaffa." You ask for intercession, you will be given the intercession. Then he will make dua, praises Allah for the judgment to start, and judgment will start.
Is it just the judgment, or those who are already punished and are in the hell will be taken out?
The any shafa'ah will not be done except by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So the justice will prevail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the Quran will have shafa'ah for us. The Quran will have shafa'ah. Okay? And the martyr will be a shafi'ah to part of his family and so forth. But all this happened by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is only those who deserve that by the will of Allah will get it. So it's already known ahead of time that those who will in hellfire, that muwahideen will come out of it. Okay.
I recently I heard something very interesting concept that okay, the people going to heaven after a while in hellfire, you know, they will enter heaven, and Allah said in the Quran, وَلَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ. Okay, so whatever you are desire in heaven, you are gonna get. Okay, now, so what is the difference between those who, you know, committed sins and, you know, have a lower degree in heaven and the higher degree in heaven, since you are gonna get whatever you desire because it's a promise of Allah? So the scholar what I'm listening to have a very very nice concept. He said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take out the desire of things from your heart, so you will not desire it. So, you see? So a certain person, will Allah give him the options to desire things, you know, more than the one who is lower than him? So the people who are coming from hellfire, for example, their range of desire in their heart will not be matching the one who is entering heaven without being going to hellfire. Mm-hmm. So don't take it lightly, like, okay, I will be punished for a while and get out and blah, blah, blah. No, you are losing a lot.
Not losing a lot. If a person, or when a person who never had a bad day in his life,
right,
will be taken and dipped in hellfire for a split second,
then he will forget the best days.
He will say, I've never had a good day in my life.
Right, right.
A split second.
Right.
You know, we don't know what a split second means,
right,
when you're
right,
in hellfire.
Right.
When one is in hellfire, we don't know what a split right, second means. Could be several hundred years.
Right.
Several thousand years.
May Allah protect us from it, inshallah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we are, it's not all one size fit all in Jannah. So Allah, although He promised that whatever you wish and desire you will have, but you are not going to have like the one who's, you know, min al-muhsinin, or the righteous people, or siddiqin, or shuhada, or salihin. They are going to have more range of, you know, much more
and
than.
And let me please add to this is at the time of the calamity of that day of Day of Judgment, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be standing on his hawd, and he will be given from his hawd to the believers to drink himself from cups like brilliant stars. Okay, and people will be coming, believers, and some will be coming, and a barrier will be there between him and them.
Look like Muslims.
Then he will say, "Ummati, ummati, my people, my people." That means they look like Muslims, right? The appearance like a Muslim, but they are not. They do not deserve to drink from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because baddalu ba'dak. Because they have changed after you. They've changed after you. Okay? The sunnah that you brought them, they manipulated it. They used something else. They do not deserve to be with you now, even though they look like a Muslimin. And Rasulullah ﷺ will not suhqan lahum, push them back, you know, I don't want them with me. So to come back to the point is the deed, after all, is what makes a difference at the end. Allahu a'lam. Huh? Their heart is not salim yet. Their heart is not salim yet.
They are the ones that will be pushed by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. Well, because it goes with the rule. The heart that's salim is the one that enters Jannah. If the heart is not salim, hellfire will make it salim. Okay, meaning it will pay for what it did. Then when it becomes salim, then it will enter paradise. Wallahu a'la wa a'lam. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.